Just prior to the 1982 General Assembly, Walter Turner, an ordained minister in the Church of God and pastor of the Green Meadow Church of God in Alcoa, Tennessee, had a stroke and literally died. What happened to Brother Turner during this crisis is truly something special. Here is Pastor Walter Turner.
First of all, I'd like to say that I thank God that He's been good to me all of my life. And I thank Him for a mom and a dad that saw that I attended church. I tell people everywhere I go and every time I have the privilege that I was born on a holiness planet. And some people after that, they say, Brother Turner, what do you mean? I said, well, my mom had 9 children and she took us all to church. And she took about 4 or 5 quilts with her. And when we would get tired and sleepy, she would put those quilts between the pews, and there we would lay and sleep while they had church. So then I've been in the Church of God all of my life, and I appreciate the great Church of God. But what happened to me was that my wife and I were out that day getting some things for our vacation Bible school. And we were looking forward to having a great vacation Bible school. Also, we were so excited about going to the General Assembly in Kansas City. And she and I went to the Westtown Mall. And while we were there, I suggested that we go and eat at the Morrison's Cafeteria. And while I was there eating, all of a sudden, something seemingly bursted in the back of my head. And I just seemingly fell over and just sort of passed out. Well, she carried me to the hospital, at the Baptist Hospital in Knoxville, Tennessee. And when they got me there to the hospital, I had already paralyzed in the left side. And they admitted me to the hospital. And during that night and during the early hours of the morning, I began to get worse. And at around 8 o'clock Wednesday evening, my daughter and my son-in-law was there in the hospital room. And I realized that I was getting worse, because of the condition of my throat that I could not swallow, because of the condition of my tongue that I could not speak clearly as I had in the past. And I just turned, Brother Knight, and I looked to the heavens, and I said, God, you've got to help me. That's all I said. And when I said that, I looked up into the ceilings of that hospital room, and I literally saw 4 angels ascending out of that ceiling. They stood at the end of my bed. I raised up off of that pillow, off of my weakening body, and I told my daughter, I said, Nancy, do you see those angels? She said, we're dead. I said, at the end of the bed. She said, well, maybe it's because tonight's Wednesday night and the church is in prayerful attention to you. And I said, no, the angels are standing there before me. And she said, her husband got up, walked to the end of the bed, put his hand out to try to see what was there. And he didn't see anything. But all of a sudden, the angel spoke to me and said, come and go with us. I literally saw myself leave that clay body in that bed. When I left out of that body, I stood at the end of the bed with the angels. And when I stood there, the angel that had spoke to me said, Walter, I'm your guardian angel. I've been with you from the day you committed your life to God. I've never left you. I've been with you through the battles. I've been with you through the sickness and through all the sorrow. And said, now let's go. It almost seemed like a magnet had pulled us through that room into the sky. And the angel that spoke to me said, look back. I looked back and all I saw was the hospital bed and my clay form body that laid there. I turned and looked, and we went on. And when we came to the gates of the city, I've never seen anything that will compare to the beauty of those gates. They were literally made out of pearls. And I looked at them, and they looked like about 60 feet wide each gate was. And I said to the angel, this is very unusual. I said, what holds these gates up because of the weight and the tremendous size of them? And the angel said, this is created by God, and He knows what He's doing. And just as we stood there, the angel said, I've got to clothe you in the robe of righteousness. And I felt them when they put that robe around me. It came on the left side, robe on the right, and a little tie on the right side. Had some sleeves in it. And when they put that robe upon my body, I literally glowed like they did. I have never felt the presence of God like I did then. And I looked at those angels. They didn't have a halo about them. They didn't have wings that we've heard in our lifetime. But those angels literally glowed like you had put oil over their faces and over their hands and took just a little step back further and put a high-powered beam light upon them. That's how they literally glowed. And when I had that robe upon me and they put those shoes of brass upon my feet, and then the angel spoke one word. I don't know what he said, but when he spoke that word, the gates literally opened automatically. And when those gates opened back, Brother Richards, I literally saw the streets of gold. I saw the walls of jasper. And I looked in the very far back, and there was a looked like something that I've never seen in all of my life. That was the throne of God. I automatically knew it. And there was 12 avenues that come from that throne of God. And we looked, and what was amazing was that there was a river that seemingly flowed down the middle of every avenue. The water was as clear as a crystal. And the angel said, "Let's go in to the mansion." And when I looked, I saw mansion after mansion. And when we started from the street of gold into the mansion, there was about a wall about 3 foot high that separated the mansion from the streets of gold. And those walls were out of jasper also. And there was a gate that was out of pearl when we walked through the gate. And when we went in through that gate, the most beautiful landscaping that I've ever seen in all of my life. The green grass was around 2 inches high, perfectly level. Not a dry spot in it, not a dry look, but it was perfectly green, and it was amazing to my eyesight. We went into the mansion, and I looked around. The first thing I said to the angel, I said, "There's no sheetrock here at all, and I do not see any type of roofing." And the angel said, "Walter, everything that's here will never deteriorate. There's nothing here that can deteriorate at all." I looked around, and I did not see any refrigerator. I did not see any stoves. I did not see any type of furniture that we have today. And I asked the angel, I said, "How do they reserve their food? How do they reserve their things to eat? And how do they cook it?" And the angel said, "God provides the meal when time to eat." And I looked around, I said, "I see no light fixtures. I see no type of lighting." He said, "We need no light here. God is the light of the city." And I went outside with the angel, and he said, "Let's go down the streets of gold." And the fourth mansion on the left, there sat a man in there, and we walked up to him, and the angel said, "Do you know who that is?" I said, "No." He said, "That's Barnabas." And it seemed like, Brother Carey, that Barnabas didn't realize we were standing there looking at him. I don't know why, but it seemed like he was paying no attention. But you talk about a smile. You talk about a contentment. You talk about peace. He had it upon his face, and his face glowed also. And we went on down a little further, and there I saw a lady in a most beautiful flower garden I've ever seen in all of my life. I've never seen flowers that will compare to the ones we have here. It looked like that the leaves and the crevices where someone had took a finger and raked gold in the crevices of flowers. They literally shined and glowed from the light that was in the city. And the angel said, "Do you know who that is?" And I said, "No." He said, "That's Mary Magdalene." I automatically remembered who she was because that's the one the Lord casted 7 devils out. Went down a little further, and the angel said, "Do you notice anything at all difference about the fruit trees in this area?" I said, "Yes, they're not rounded like we have." He said, "No." I said, "They have 3 levels. It looked like the first level where a child could walk up and just pluck the fruit off of the tree. The next level a little higher, the next level a little higher. And I said, that's a strange thing to me. I said, you don't even have to have a stepladder to reach any of this fruit. And the angel said, not only that, but it grows 12 months out of a year. We went on down a little further, and the angel said, let's go. They're having church service. And I went into that building. I've never seen a building as large as all of my life. It looked like it was 50 times as large as the Astrodome. I looked at the ceiling, and I looked, and I said, how something this large can hold the weight of not even a center beam in it? And the walls were literally jasper. The floors were literally gold. I saw no pews. I saw no altar rails. I saw no offering plates. I only saw the backs of the people. And every one of them were clothed just like I was. And every one of them was glowing just like I was. And they were small children standing beside the parent, I so seemingly thought. And we walked down the side of the people. I never saw their faces. And I looked, and the angel said, who is that standing up there? And I said, I don't know. He said, that's Paul of Tarsus. And brother, they were having church service. It was a sound that I've never heard. It pierced my ears in all of my life. It was a tremendous sound. It was a sound of peace, sound of joy, and sound of hope. And we looked, and the angel said, who's sitting over there? And I said, I don't know. He said, that's Stephen. Said, you know, he was stoned, but said, God also opened the heavens back and allowed him to view heaven before he died. Said, go over there and look at him and see if there's any cut marks upon his body, if there's any bruises about his body. I walked over there and walked completely around him, Brother Thomas, and he seemingly never paid any attention to me. He was just kept on worshiping God. I looked upon the stage, and there was the most beautiful sound that I've ever heard in all of my life. The angel didn't have to ask me who he was, but I automatically knew that it was David, because he was playing on a golden harp. It seemed like his fingers literally floated on the strings, and that sound was tremendous. Oh, I've never felt like that in all of my life. And I looked to my right, and I saw one of the most unusual instruments that I've ever seen in all of my life. I don't know how to compare the way of describing the looks of it, but it seemed like all the one that was sitting there, he was pointing his finger, and every time he pointed a finger at a key, it made the sound that he wanted to come out. And we left the building, and the angel said, let's go to the throne. We walked down the street of gold. When I got to the throne, the most beautiful sight I've ever seen. I've never been privileged to go to Washington and see the Capitol, but you know the columns they have. It'll not compare with these columns and chair beams. They look like they were 60 to 80 foot high. Tremendous architect work. Tremendous craftsmanship. And I never saw the face of God. There was a seemingly a flame that came up and down before him. But when he spoke, I knew that it was the authority of God, for his voice sounded like thunder. It sounded like authority. It sounded like water that flowed over a large dam. And I literally then stood, and I began to beg God. I said, God, don't send me back. Don't make me go back. I don't want to go back, because there's too much trouble. There's too many problems. I don't want to go back. And all of a sudden, Brother Knight, Jesus walked out. I don't know where he come from, but he walked to my side. And there he just sort of held his hands back. And I literally saw the scars that was in the palms of his hand. They wasn't up here on the wrist area where I've seen pictures painted, but they were literally in the palms of his hand. And I recognized him because he literally glowed twice as much as the angels did. But I've never heard the voice that was so pleasing. I've never heard a voice that was so contented as Jesus was. He said, Walter, the reason we have allowed you to come here is because we want you to know that heaven is real, and it's worth every effort that you put forth. Said, we're not ready for you now, but said, when we get ready for you, we'll come for you. I didn't beg him to stay. I walked off with the four angels, and as we started down the street of gold, I asked the angel, and only one angel spoke to me. The other three never said a word, but the angel that said he was my guardian angel is the only one that talked to me. And I said to him, I said, where is the children's toys? I don't see anything at all. He said, come and go with us. We went down and crossed to the other avenue. And when we arrived to the most beautiful area, it wasn't a rolling type place. Everything was as level and smooth as it could be. There sat one of the most amazing sights that I've ever seen. I saw a mass of children sitting on the grass, and a man was standing in the midst of them. And the angel said, do you know who that is? And I said, no. He said, that's Abraham. His hair was silver of many winters, it seemed like, and his pleasant look. He seemingly was talking to the children. And the first thing I recognized was that none of the children were getting up and running and playing. None of them was picking at the other. And I said to the angel, I said, this is amazing. He said, why? It's because God controls them now. And we left there. And as we began to walk down the street of gold, and as I began to walk out and see the beauty, still felt the very presence of God. And as I stood at the gate, a man walked up to me. The angel didn't ask me who he was. But the man came to me and he said, Walter, I'm Enoch. Said, I walk with the Lord one day, and he invited me to come home with him. I've been here ever since, and that made me want to stay that much more. It made me want to just really stay there. But the angel said, no, you can't stay. The angel took the robe of righteousness off of me, took my shoes, a brass from my feet. The gate then opened, and I came out of the gate, and I drifted back down, and I literally saw myself go back into that clay body in the ICU ward. And when I came to in that body, I had been gone over 15 hours, they tell me. And when I came to, I sort of yawned like I'd been in a sleep. My wife walked in at 11 o'clock visiting hour, only had 5 minutes. And she said, Nancy, Dad's yawning. And Nancy walked up to me and said, Dad, do you know who I am? I said, yes, you're Nancy. She said, my wife said, you've been gone somewhere, haven't you? I said, yes. She said, you didn't want to come back. I said, no. And the nurse ran and got the doctors. And I had, I think, two or three neurologists in that room. They said, can you move your leg? I said, yes, nothing's wrong with my leg. They said, can you move your hand? I said, yes, nothing's wrong. The doctor said, I'm amazed. I don't know what's happened. He stood there and he said, I have studied the human brain. I know the blood vessels that are in that brain. And said, since you have been in this condition, my blood pressure had gotten to 230. Over 156. Dr. Bills, they called him in. He was a specialist. Told him, he said, he'll never be right if he makes it. He'll be a vegetable. His mind is completely gone because of the blood vessels that have literally bursted in his head. Said he'll be paralyzed for the rest of his life. See, during the time I was gone, they tried every way they could to bring me to any vital signs, but everything about my body completely quit functioning. It actually quit functioning. And they was amazed. But one thing for sure, I know that I wasn't there for any damage to happen. I wasn't there for anything to affect my ministry. But when I came back into that body, brother, I've never felt God as strong in all of my life. Brother Knight, every time I now pick up that holy word, something begins to literally burst in my body. I want to tell the world, heaven is real. Heaven's real. And we cannot let the devil cheat us out of it. I thank God for this opportunity. And most of all, I thank God for allowing me to be an ordained minister in the great church of God. Hallelujah. I love him today more than anything in all of this world. And you know what sometimes the devil will do? That first Sunday, I was able to go back to church. The devil says, all right, now if you say anything at all about this, people are going to say, now he's got a scheme or he's got some kind of a trick to pull. I said, no, devil, I don't have to have that. All I've got to do is to tell these people that heaven is real and they've got to make it. I sometimes now dread to see the day come to an end because I want to tell everyone I can that heaven is real. Heaven is real. And I've got to make it. And I'm going to go back there. I'm going to see God again. I'm going to see Jesus again because I've been privileged to walk on those streets of gold. Glory be to God. I feel the presence of the Lord moving in my soul today, Brother Thomas. Oh, glory be to God. Every time I'm privileged to say something about this, there's something begins to bubble in my soul. Something seems like wants to explode out of me. Brother, God has never been so real to me in all of my life. I've got something now to fight for. I've got something now to preach about. I've got something now to tell this world. Devil, you're a liar. Heaven is real, and it's worth every effort that we put forth. May God bless you. I appreciate these brethren allowing me to come and to take this privilege of telling you about the city called heaven.